And today I'd like to continue along a slightly different line. And let's take our Bibles, if you would, if you stand with me, if you're able to, for the reading of the Word of the Lord. It's good to see Elise Martin here with us today. And I understand she's been sick. And glad that she could be in the house of the Lord today. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. And it's up on the board there. Why don't you read it with me? For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. With the help of the Lord, Brother Rick, why don't you run up here again so you can pray and ask the blessing of the Lord on the preaching of the word. With the help of the Lord today, I'm going to continue along those lines, and I'm going to talk for a little while about God has not given us a spirit of fear. Amen. Fear is one of the biggest problems that we have, and God's not given that to us. Amen. Why don't you pray?
Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for your word, which we are about to receive, O Lord Jesus. O Father, speak to us through your servant. Fill our hearts. Give us the understanding and the knowledge of thy word today, O Father. But, O Lord, when it all is said and done, let us give you the honor, the glory, and the praise for it, O Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. You may be seated. All throughout the word of God, you can read in many different places. Bible says, fear not. Other places he says, don't be afraid. Just a couple of examples which are not on the display. Isaiah 41 and 13, the Lord says, and I'm paraphrasing just a little bit, he says, fear not, for I will help you. Jeremiah chapter 46 and verse 27, he says to the prophet, fear not, I'm going to save you from afar off. In Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 57, the writer writes, you draw near when I called on your name and said, fear not. You can't go wrong calling upon the name of the Lord. You say, well, I'm afraid. I've got problems. I've got difficulties. Someone who has counted these things. And that's what the writer in Lamentations said. He said, but when I draw near, you draw near to me, Lord. Someone that's counted these things out says that there's one fear not or don't be afraid or some version of that for every day of the year. So whether it's January 1st, February 1st, March 15th, April Fool's Day, October, November, whatever day it is, we've got problems. There's a promise in the word of the Lord that says fear not. A promise in the word of the Lord that says don't be afraid. And have you ever asked yourself, why does God take so much time to say this? Why does he say, fear not? Why does he say, don't be afraid so many times? I'm going to tell you why. It's because fear can paralyze even the greatest faith. Fear is the opposite of faith. Fear does not please God. There's only one thing that pleases God. The word of the Lord says faith pleases God. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. The scripture tells us this. But I'm going to tell you something else. You may not be ready for this, and it might hurt a little bit. But fear pleases Satan. When you've got fear in your life, you're just making the devil one happy camper. Satan will feed on your fear. It's filet mignon in his eyes if you're a steak person. If you're a fish person, I don't know what kind of fish it is. But whatever it is, Satan will feed on your fear. He will mess with you. And I'm sorry if I'm messing you with your theology today. But why does the scripture tell us in 1 Peter 5 and 8, he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Take a deep breath now. Fear is really faith in the enemy. Come on. Fear is faith in the enemy. Think about it. God speaks to your situation, and you have faith, and you believe God. And when you believe God, you release faith to work in your life. and you say, I believe. And like the song says, whose report are you going to believe? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. I'm telling you that words can bring spirits. Words can bring results. But when the opposite happens, God speaks to your situation and you want to have faith and you want to believe God, but fear speaks its word to you. And instead of releasing faith to work in your life, you release fear. Fear looks at the word of God and says, God won't, God can't, and God shouldn't be trusted. That's really what it is it not? Fear gets a hold of you and says, it's just not going to happen. It's not going to come to pass. On Thursday nights, I'm talking about the seasons of refinement. And the first thing we're going to look at is time. Sometimes God will speak to you certain things. And it's not going to come to pass for a little while. You take Abraham as evidence of that. Sometimes you just got to hang on. Down the road, they may look at you and say, where are your children? Where is your promise? But I promise you that if God has spoken a word to you, do not listen to fear, because what God has spoken is going to come to pass. It may not come to pass right now, but it's going to come to pass at some point if you'll just hang on and believe God. And it's fear that says you can't believe God. It's fear that says it's not going to happen. It's fear that says that God can't. Have you ever noticed that God uses words first and action comes as a result of the words? Very rarely in the Word of God do you see God come down and do it and say, this is what I was going to do all along. The vast, vast, vast majority of times, I can only think of one time it was like that, and that's with Sodom and Gomorrah, when the Lord talked to his friend Abraham, said, I'm going to smoke them. And Abraham interceded. But every other time, the Lord has given a promise and said, this is what's going to happen. And the prophets and the ministry waited on faith and they believed God and it came to pass. He speaks first. Actions come later. He speaks to you and the faith that you receive it in. Amen. Israel saw. And we're going to turn to Exodus chapter 24, the first two verses. Israel saw and heard God descend on the mountain. Now the setting is in this is when Moses went up to get the law from Mount Sinai. And the scripture says, and he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou Aaron. And I thought it was very interesting here. They said Nadab and Abihu. Because if you read later on in the book of Leviticus, there was two guys and their name was Nadab and Abihu. And the Bible says they offered strange fire unto the Lord. And he turned them into a crispy critter. But Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel were there. And he said, worship you afar off, and Moses alone shall come near the Lord. But they shall not come nigh thee, neither shall the people go up with them. You see, Israel saw and heard God descend on that mountain. But what really happened at that point is they became afraid of what they saw and what they heard. Moses heard God. And he responded positively in faith, and he walked into the cloud. I don't know about you, but they were living in a day. There was no airplanes. There was no science. It looked like magic that must have happened. And Moses knew that he had heard from God. And according to verses 9 and 10, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel saw the God of Israel. Actually, what they saw was what was called a theophany. Because the only way that you see God is in the face of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. The body of Christ did not pre-exist the incarnation. That's another story. The Bible tells us Moses walked into the cloud. And to do that, he had to exercise faith and not fear. And Moses was just having a heyday. Faith brought him to an experience with God that he never had before. He wasn't really alone, because Joshua went somewhat up there with him. But he spent 40 days with the Lord, God giving him instructions on building the tabernacle, God writing out the stones on the Ten Commandments on the tablet of stones. And some other things that the Lord, he was just having a great time being in the presence of the Lord. He fasted those 40 days. He was having communion with God. And the Bible says that they all saw the glory of God on the mount. They were not close, but they were far. And the Bible says it was clouds and thunders and lightnings. And instead of the people going, ooh, ah, they were witness what they were witnessing. They began to fear. Exodus 32 and 1 from the Nearly Inspired Version tells us when the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, come, make us gods who will go before us. For this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. What had happened here, and the scripture says he was so long in coming down from the mountain, the people thought, well, who thought he was too long? Obviously, God didn't think it was too long. Because he was blessing Moses up there. Moses was having a glory experience. And there's something about when you set some time aside to spend with God. I'm not talking about an afternoon. I'm not even talking about a day. But when you set some time to spend with God, there's something about fasting and having a glory experience with the Lord and being in his presence. But it did not help those people because fear, began to speak words of doubt to them. They were afraid that Moses hadn't heard from God, obviously. They were afraid that God had let them down. And because of that, they turned to idolatry. And we know the rest of the story. None of the elders, not even Aaron, had faith. Every one of them had fear. Joshua was up there with Moses. He was just kind of quiet. Doesn't say a whole lot what he was doing. He was checking things out. And in Exodus chapter 24 and 13, the scripture says he went with Moses. And Moses and Joshua went down and they called Aaron on the carpet. And I can't believe the answer. If you read the scripture in Exodus chapter 32, verses 23 and 24, again from the Nearly Inspired Version. The real reason I call it the Nearly Inspired Version is they got a lot of stuff right. But if you want to know the truth of the matter, go to the King James Version. Because they got a few things wrong in the NIV. When they got it right, it's pretty good. Verse 23, he said, make us gods who will go before us. For this fellow Moses who brought us out to Egypt, we don't know what happened to him. So now this is Aaron's recounting of the stories. So I said to them, who has any gold? Who has any jewelry? Take it off. And they gave me the gold and I threw it in the fire. Out came the calf all by itself. See? The calf just came out. Doesn't it sound like Adam and Eve? When God told Adam, he says, who told you you're naked? And Adam looked at God and said, this woman that you gave me, she caused me to sin. That's what Aaron was doing. He was putting the blame somewhere else. There's a whole other message in this, but I'm not going to preach that part today. But Aaron let the crowd speak fear to him. Sometimes the man of God just needs to stand up and say, fear not. I don't care what's happening. I don't care what it looks like. Just stand in faith and believe God. You see, fear is contagious and will make you the laughingstock of the devil. Exodus 32 and verse 25 tells us Moses saw that the people were running wild. Isn't that nice? He leaves the church with his assistant and he comes back down. Everything's nuts. He saw the people running wild. Aaron had to let them get out of control, and so they became a laughingstock to their enemies. It was in November when we had a serious problem in the church. And I was wondering what this was all about. And I read this scripture and I began to realize what happened in my own life. 2 o'clock in the morning, one night I woke out of a sound sleeping to ask my wife, because I don't know if I woke her up or I told her in the morning, but I heard three demonic voices laughing at me. Just rolling on the floor, laughing. Just laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing. And I understand what happened now. They thought they were injecting fear in my life. Because when you let fear come into your life, the enemy's going to laugh at you. It's what they did to the children of Israel. They became a laughingstock to their enemies. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, and I believe I've got verse 5 up here. The Bible talks about casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing captive every thought into the obedience of Jesus Christ. What's he saying here? What he's telling you is the battlefield is in your brain. The battlefield is in your noggin. Many places, or some places in the scripture, says, as your faith is, so be it unto you. You're either going to have faith or you're going to not have faith. Why do you not have faith? Because you have fear. Because you're afraid that God is not going to bring something to pass in your life. So what do we have to do? We've got to pull down strongholds. How we handle what we see and what we hear will determine whether we give birth to fear and the problems that accompany it, or faith. Isn't that what happened in the book of Job? He says, the thing that I feared has come upon me. If you're going forth with God, forget about your situation. Forget about your problems. Put your hand in the Lord and let God lead you. Let God guide you, because he's not going to let you down. Amen. Job had himself a problem. He was afraid that some things were going to happen. He was afraid some things were going to come to pass. And that thing that he feared came upon him. It's how we handle what we hear, what we see. It's going to determine whether we give birth to that fear. King David, he wasn't always perfect. We know he had problems, but he had learned an understanding of fear. In 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6, during one of his times of trouble, it says, David was greatly distressed. He was on the run from Saul, which we're going to get to in a little while. And the Malachites or the Jebusites, somebody came, and they took the woman, they took the children, they burned the city, and the men that were with him wanted to stone him. They were not wanting to get him high. They weren't wanting to take big rocks and throw them at his head and kill him. And the scripture says in 1 Samuel 30 and 6 that David was greatly distressed. For the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But what did David do? David encouraged himself in the Lord. When your situation looks dark, don't go to your friends. Don't go to your loved ones even. Go to the word of the Lord and begin to open up for yourself the promises that are found in the word of God. Maybe Rod can turn, bring up a scripture, Isaiah chapter 42 in the first verse, I believe it is. Or maybe the second verse, Isaiah 42 and 1. When I get problems and I get difficulties, I look at the word of the Lord. Go to verse 2. It's Isaiah 43. How come you didn't know that, Brother Rod? I knew you should know that. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. What does he say? What does he say? What does he say? Fear not. Why? Because I've redeemed you. I want you to know, if God has redeemed you, you ain't got nothing to worry about. He takes care of his children. The Bible tells us it doesn't matter. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen his seed begging bread. It's not going to happen, because God cannot lie. I've called you by your name. Thou art mine. Go ahead in the next verse. It says, when you go through the waters, he didn't say, I'm going to keep you from the waters, but he said, I'm going to walk with you through the waters. You may have some things that you've got to go through. You may have some things that you've got to face, but if you'll face them, God will go through them with you. Amen? He said, when they shall not overflow you, when you walk through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. I want you to know that he'll go through you with the waters. He'll go through the waters with you. It's not going to overflow you. It's not going to take you down the river and over the falls and find a dead body somewhere down there. He says, if you go through the fire, you're not going to be burned. The flame is not going to kindle upon you. It's kind of like the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the word of the Lord tells us, they were thrown into the fiery furnace, and when they came out, it says they were not singed, not a hair on their head was singed, there was no smell of smoke on their body, and their bonds were burned off. Sometimes God will let you go into a trial, into a trouble, and he'll bring you into that place to set you free. So when I got times that bothered me, I open up the word of the Lord. And I've been known to sit down there and say, hey, God, you said he'd never let me down. In Psalms 56 in verse 3, David wrote, he in the King James Version, it says, and he says, what time I am afraid, I'm going to trust in you. In the NIV, it says, when I am afraid, I'm going to trust in you. David gives us a key here. It's not a sin to have fear attack you. That's the work of the enemy. He's going to try that. But the problem comes when you don't cast down the imagination and that you allow your fear to replace your faith. David is a great example of fear and of faith. It's mind-boggling if you think about these things. It's powerful. David went just a child to Goliath. He said, there's nobody here. I'm not afraid of this guy. And the Bible says he took the stones. Why did he take so many stones? It says Goliath had that many brothers. He was ready for them all. He didn't care. He killed that, they say he was 9'6", behemoth of a man who Saul was afraid to deal with. But within a few months, David is now running from the very guy who had been running from the giant. And in 1 Samuel 27 and 1, and I'm going to paraphrase here, he says, one day he's going to get me. That's what he said. He said, David thought to himself, one of these days, I'm going to be destroyed by the hand of Saul. You see what was happening here? Fear was speaking to David. It's mind-boggling. You say, hey, David, I thought you're the guy that killed the giant. Yeah, but that was before. What do you mean that was before? I was thinking better in those days. Let me paraphrase that. In those days in my youth, I was in my youth and my faith was young and I believed God for anything. But now I've learned to take care of myself. And you know, God wants you to be a little rational. God wants you to be a little reasonable. Does that sound like some of us today? You know how it is. And by the way, when you get into that kind of mood, new people just kind of bug you because they look like an image of you 15 years ago. You look at them, you say, they'll learn. Shame on you if you ever think that. You got to look and say, I need to learn once again what it means to trust the Lord. Amen. When they say God can do anything, you go, you just wait till you're up against the wall. You'll learn. You didn't used to be like that. What happened? What's really happened is you've learned to accept fear and not accept faith. And we all go through that. We all struggle with that. And this is why I felt like I needed to bring this to our church and to preach on this for a little bit. You see, God has not given us a spirit of fear. And if you've got a spirit of fear, if you have fear, you got the wrong spirit working in your life. Because fear is not of God. Fear did not exist until Adam said, I was afraid. God never meant man to fear. God meant man to dominate the world. That was his thing. Sin brought some things into this world. Sin brought fear into this world. And like I said, it's not a sin to have fear attack you. But if you allow fear to dwell with you, you're going to end up like the children of Israel who allowed fear to rule and it brought them into idolatry. It brought them to a far place with God. And the Bible says 3,000 lost their lives. Let me try David again. David said, when I am afraid. You see, it's not a sin to be afraid. David was afraid. But if you stay afraid, what it shows is a lack of biblical understanding. How are you going to trust in God looking at your problems? You said, they're facing me every day. It's one thing, my wife can attest it. I'm a little better. You know, hey, I'm not perfect. I'm a little better. I just kind of ignore certain things happening in my life. Why? Because if I sit there and focus on the negative all the time, it's going to kill my faith. I've just got to believe that God is and He's able. Amen? If He's spoken a word to me, I just need to believe Him. And when you sit there and focus on your problem all the time, you're not able to function. This is one of my faults. I'm going to tell you, this is one of my faults. I have a very difficult time at times focusing. But I've gotten much better at it. I'm able to focus now. It seems like when everything's going nuts, I'm able to focus just a little bit better now. Praise the Lord. You got to get your eyeball off of the problem and begin to start trusting God. You see, you ever see people with eyes can look two ways? That is so confusing. You ever seen that? You know, the eye goes one way. My brother used to do that till he had an operation. One eye would go one way, one eye would go the other. I can only, You either got to keep your eye on the Lord or you got to keep your eye on your problem. Because if you try to keep your eye on both, you're going to have double vision. You're not going to make sense of nothing. You need an operation just like my brother had. Better off just to say, I'm going to focus on the Lord. I'm going to make the God of Israel my God. I'm going to serve the Lord with everything that's within me. Because He said, I'm your servant that I've chosen. Don't worry about it. Don't fear. I'm going to bring you through the waters. I'm going to bring you through the fires. You're not going to drown. Let's go back to David again. David runs away from Saul. Why? His thoughts were tormenting him. Remember the scripture? It says, fear hath torment. If you're tormented today, if you can't sleep at night, if you've got difficulties like that, there are things going through your mind, you can be delivered today. Amen. My God delivers from fear because He's not giving us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of power. The scripture says, fear, therefore, having torment. Torment produces actions accordingly. What did David do? Evidently, David was being tormented. When Saul kept trying to kill him, I mean, I might get tormented too. I would just like to just stand there and just say, go ahead and throw that javelin. That's what he did, right, Brother Rick? Threw a javelin. Whew. Maybe last minute go, ha-ha, you missed me. You say, well, why would you do that? Because he had the promises of God. I want you to think about this. It wasn't in his mind. The prophet Samuel anointed him to be king. And you can't be king if you're dead. Right? It's a no-brainer. If God has spoken something, you can't get there if it ain't going to happen. Fear must have spoke to him and told him, you can't trust the prophet. That's what happened. Old Samuel, sure he's been used of God. The old dope. I'm sure this is what fear said. The old dope, he anointed Saul. And now he's anointed you. He's going to be a two-time loser because Saul's going to kill you. I got another example for you. From the book of Chronicles, which did not end in disaster, but did end in victory. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and Brother Rod, turn to that. I love the scripture that upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Don't be afraid to let the Spirit of the Lord move on you in the midst of the house of God. We're scared. Come on. Some of us have felt the Spirit of God moving on us and we have not acted. Why? Fear. Go ahead to the next verse. He said, hearken you all the Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord to you. And sometimes, Brother Herring, I asked him, I said, you're my age. How's a guy like you get in medical school? He said, my pastor stood up and prophesied 10 years ago, I believe you told me, was it 10 years ago? He said, God's going to give you the desire. God's going to send you to medical school. He's there. I could not imagine. I'm sorry. You're a better man than I am. I could not imagine having to learn all that stuff. It seems like my brain is fried sometimes. At my age, God bless you, Brother Herring. But what did Brother Herring do? Did you believe the prophet? You believe? I love it when I hear. We hear too much stuff that says, somebody said, well, those say, you'll get people that prophesy crazy stuff. It don't come to pass. When somebody prophesies stuff and it comes to pass, you need to listen to that man. He prophesied it, came to pass. There's still prophets in the world today, and God still brings prophecy through the ministry. I hate to tell you that. I've seen some things I've said come to pass. Quite a few things I've said come to pass. And I'm not claiming to be a prophet. Don't even think that. Don't even think that in any way, shape, or form. But I have seen God move upon me. And sometimes I'm a little hesitant. Not really afraid. I just want to be sure of what I'm saying. But I know when God's talking to me. Doesn't talk to me all the time. This is the problem when somebody says, I'm a prophet. Okay, come on over. Prophesy. Perform. Do it. What happens if the Holy Ghost ain't telling you? You see, we do not operate the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit operate us. The Bible talks about the Spirit is subject to the prophet. That Spirit don't have control of you in that sense where it makes you do stuff. But it does. The Spirit of the Lord does impress you on certain things and will move upon your spirit. And He operates the gifts. You do not operate the gifts. This is why you can feel in the house of the Lord, you could just feel that overwhelming presence of God. God's wanting you to give a tongue interpretation. God's wanting you to do this, do that. You don't do it. Why? You got fear. It's time to let go and let God do some things. Praise God. He said, don't be dismayed by the reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but the battle is God's. I got news for you. The battle is still God's. The battle is still the Lord's. When you put your hands in the hands of the Lord, it's still God's battle. Go ahead. Tomorrow when you go down against them, behold, they come unto the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You're not going to need to fight in this battle. Set yourself. Stand you still. And see the salvation of the Lord. I know we went through a little bit of church problems and a little bit of folks getting crazy on us. And all the time God's telling me, just hang on. Don't worry about it. It's kind of hard not to worry about things when things aren't working right. But I've been trying my best just to say, okay, God, you're God. Because if God wants a church here, if He wants our church here, He's going to make a way. God called me to this place. Amen. I didn't come here because I wanted to come here. I never heard of Secaucus before. But God spoke, that's another story, but 7 years ago, God spoke to me and said, I'm going to bring you to the place where you need to be. And I find myself here, 8 years ago now, 8 years from the day almost, I am here in this place, and God showed me this place. And when God brings you to a place, He doesn't bring you to a place to let you down. He doesn't bring you to a place to cause you to fail. He doesn't bring you to a place to let fear get a hold of you. He wants you to stand in faith and believe Him. He said, fear not, don't be dismayed. Tomorrow when you go out against them, the Lord is going to be with you. And that's what I've been feeling like. I've been feeling like I'm just going to believe God, and God is with me. God has opened some doors. It's been 6 years or 7 years almost since we started this church now, and God has been with us. We've seen some great things that have happened. You know what? God ain't left us. We've got some spiritual battles still to fight. Stand back. Let God take care of it. He's the one, the Bible says, I've spoiled all principalities and powers. I've just got to get myself to the place. What the apostle said, he says, it's not meet for me to be serving tables. And they appointed the elders of the church. He says, the Lord has spoken to me and to give myself to prayer and fasting. Go ahead to the next verse. And the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord with a loud voice on high. I know you may not like to do it sometimes, but sometimes God likes to hear us sing. Amen. He likes to hear us praise. He likes to hear you shout, Hallelujah. Why else would he say, shout unto God with a voice of triumph? Oh, clap your hands is what the scripture said. It says, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. He likes to hear it. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness at Tekoa. As they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God and hang on right here. And so you shall be established and believe his prophets, so you're going to prosper. Actually, let's go to the next one. And when he had consulted with the people, appointed singers to the Lord that they should praise what? The beauty of holiness. Some people say holiness is not for today. They're full of baloney. You can still praise the beauty of holiness. Holiness comes when you get God inside of you. And you begin to yield yourself to the things of God. Holiness is not something you can do. Holiness is something that you get a hold of. And when God takes you and begins to mold you and shape you into what you want, what you ought to be, and when you begin to follow the word of God, that's holiness. I don't care how many people tell you, you got to do this to be holy. You got to do that to be holy. You got to be led of the Holy Ghost to be holy. You got to have the Spirit of the Lord moving inside of you. Yes, you need to separate yourself from some things, but you know what? He's the one that he'll help you if you don't. You know, we get stubborn. He said, praise him for the beauty of holiness. They went out before the army, and what did they say? Praise the Lord for his mercy, and didn't say his holiness endureth forever. It says, praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. Go ahead. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon and of Moab and of Mount Seir, which they come against Judah, and they were smitten. The thing that began to get God's attention is when they begin to praise him for his mercy. The Bible says the mercy of the Lord endureth forever. The Bible says his mercy is new every morning. You might have spoken some stupid things against God, but that doesn't mean if you go to God in prayer and say, God, would you strengthen me? Would you forgive me? The Bible says his mercies are new every morning. He will forgive you. He will strengthen you. And if you don't believe that, fear is speaking to you. Hallelujah. If David had believed the prophet, fear would not have had a heyday in his life. Hey, this is good, ain't it? I think this is good. God's been talking to me. Don't you like it when God talks to me? Amen. I'm getting blessed preaching this. There's something about the word of the Lord that brings life. Amen. If David had just simply believed the prophet, and sometimes God calls you to believe him, but he also calls you to believe the man of God he's put in your life, he would have been spared a lot of problems and grief. But we know that somewhere David got a hold of himself. He shook off the mantle of fear, and he took on the mantle of faith. We have people in an area that don't go to church anymore. You know why? They ran away. What Elijah did. Everybody knows a story about Elijah. Elijah was awesome. He prayed and the rain stopped. He prayed 3.5 years later, one prayer meeting. They didn't have a 40-day fast. They didn't have a 30-day fast. He just had a prayer meeting. Told a servant to go out and look for rain. He stayed there and prayed. Servant said back, came back, says, ain't seen it yet. Go back out and look again. Because Elijah knew God was answering his prayer. Amen. One prayer meeting. I love it when God does stuff in one prayer meeting. Then he goes and he kills 450 prophets. And he outruns ignorant Ahab's chariot. But then he gets one note from this old bag named Jezebel. That nobody ever names their kid Jezebel. You know anybody that got a kid named? I don't know anybody named their kid Jezebel. I think God did that. But he gets one note from Jezebel that tells him that tomorrow I'm going to kill you. I'm going to slice you up. I'm going to barbecue you. And he lets that begin to fester inside of him. He said, I'm going to turn you into a crispy critter. I'm going to cut your throat. I'm going to barbecue your hide. And at the end, she probably signed, Love, Jesse. This was the man that just killed the 450 prophets. This is the man that brought fire down from heaven. This is the man that had the hand of God upon him. This is the man that ran the chariot. And all he does is get this dumb note from this floozy named Jezebel. And he gets it and he reads it and fear grips his soul. Does it make sense to you? Don't make sense for me. The Bible says he ran 13 miles. He said, it doesn't say 13 miles. Well, if you measure it on a map, he ran 13 miles. I can't run 13 miles. I mean, they might not have eaten like we eat today and so on and so forth. He might have had a little more lean muscle upon him. I don't know. But he ran. He ran. You need to understand why it impacted him, though. Number one, he was physically exhausted. As much as you may not think so, doing the work of the Lord and being involved in spiritual warfare is physically and mentally exhausting. He was spiritually drained, number two. And at this time comes that big, bad devil that hates him, gets a hold of Jezebel. And Jezebel, she wasn't upset over Mount Carmel. She knew who he was out there. He was killing her prophets, didn't say anything. But he decided he needed to stir the earthly devil up, is what the spiritual devil did. Elijah was strong in his mind. He was clicking. Everything was working out. He's walking around like a caged tiger among those 850 fakers of Baal. He's mocking them, laughing them. Maybe your God's asleep. You know the story about Elijah on Mount Carmel? They're cutting themselves. They're bleeding, and he's just laughing. He's having a heyday. He loves it. But after he's expended all that spiritual energy, and his physical frame is exhausted. Now all of a sudden Jezebel comes to him and says, let's fight. What happens? Instead of giving birth to faith, the thoughts go, or just, I don't feel up to this God. Anybody ever feel like that? Not again. Didn't I just get through something? Or am I the only one that ever been there? Have you been there? Seems like no sooner you get through with one devil, there's another one knocking at your door. Seems like no sooner you get through with one problem and four of them are knocking at your door. And you'll get tired and your mind will be exhausted. This is why you need to get away from what even I need. My wife makes me go away sometimes because she says I cannot get any rest around the house. She makes me get away as much as, you know, I allow her to nag me to get away. Right? She does tell me I got to get away. Because you need rest. You need spiritual refreshing. This is why it's good to go to conference. They got a ladies' conference coming up in June. We just had a men's conference. Why it's good to get away to stuff. Try to sit back and refocus your mind. Praise God. And what did fear say to Elijah? If you don't feel a way for it, just run away. You know the song says, he that lives and runs away will live to fight another day. That's what the devil will tell you. Just run away. You don't have to deal with it now. When all of a sudden the Lord is talking to you saying, you're going to have victory. But you're too tired to hear a word from him. That's why your pastor needs to stay in spiritual fighting condition. If he's exhausted, nothing good comes out of it. But I'm telling you the truth. Every one of us have experienced fear. I've experienced fear. Just a few months ago, I realized that that's what the devil's throwing at me was fear. That's why I heard those voices laughing at me in the middle of the night. That was fear. But I refuse to accept what the devil sends my way. I choose instead to believe the report of the Lord. And I may face some difficulties preaching like this. You know, sometimes things happen the next day or even that evening. What am I going to do? Just hang on. The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Amen. Praise God. We're not supposed to let fear dominate us. We cannot let fear dominate us. What we're supposed to do is, according to the word of God, is take fear to the throne of God. When we take fear to the throne of God, you know what it becomes? God is sitting there saying, you little beggar, what are you scared of? You know, you just come whining to me. That's not what God does. Because when you bring your fears to the Lord, your fear, what you're doing becomes an act of faith. And you take that fear and you turn it around into faith. And something that begins to rise up in you that says, Lord, I'm coming boldly before the throne of God. And Lord, I'm asking God that you take this away from me, Lord. I'm tired of torment. I'm tired of being afraid. I'm tired of not sleeping at night. Lord Jesus, and it becomes an act of faith. An act of faith. You see, truth sets you free. The Son sets you free. That's what the Word of God tells us. He who the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. Amen. The captives are supposed to be set free. You think the Lord wants you to live in torment? He said, fear has torment. You think God wants you to live that way? I'm going to tell you something today that the Lord wants you to be free. God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of power. He's given us a spirit of love and of a sound mind. The act of faith takes fear to the altar and presents it to God. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden. I'm going to give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Fear is a burden that can be presented to the Lord God Almighty. Fear is the tormentor, things that are causing fear. Or ignorance, sickness, problems, guilt, sin, the unknown. You look at your situation. I preached just a couple. If you didn't hear this tape, if you weren't here for that, you need to get the tape. Where I talked about, Paul said, we're not dismayed. We're perplexed. But how do you get to where you're perplexed, but not you got to live in the overflow? Because God can give you the place and bring you to the place where you look. You might look at your problem. You might say, well, I know it's there. And turn your eye back to the Lord. Because remember, you can't have double vision. And you may not know what the answer is. But you know you got a God that's going to take care of you. You know you got the Lord has not left you. He's not going to let you go. He's not going to forsake you. He's not going to see you begging bread. And you begin to put your faith in the Lord. And I want you to know God will do some things in your life. The early church cast out spirits. They cleansed souls. They healed bodies. How? They declared Jesus. They had problems. They had people that wanted to kill them. They had people that were beating them. They had people that were throwing them in jail. What did they do? They just ignored them and did the ministry stuff. And this is what you can do, is you can just ignore your problems and say, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to get involved somehow. I'm going to put my hand in the hand of the Lord, and my God's not going to let me down. They didn't let them down. He ain't going to let you down. They ignored fear. You see, the antidote for fear is faith. And faith comes from hearing the Word of God. I'm sorry, but you can read the Bible every day, all day long. You will not have as much faith as you could have if you will sit under the spout where the glory comes out. Come on. To sit under the preaching of the Word. I didn't originate that. That was originated in camp meeting 20-some-odd years ago. Brother Herring, you probably heard that out west too. You sit under the spout where the glory. I loved it when I heard that. And I found out that it's true. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When you get a hold of some good preaching, when you get a hold of some ministry that will feed your soul, you need to hear the Word of God. It's going to build your faith. Reading is not going to take it. You ought to read the Word. You ought to spend time in the Word of God. But ultimately, hearing, faith comes by hearing the preached Word of God. And faith is that antidote for fear. James said, receive with meekness the engrafted Word that's able to save your soul. Okay, so God wants us free in every area of our lives. Sister Evanson, why don't you come? If you're afraid, then you're tormented. If you're tormented, you're not free. Fear breaks loose inside. See, this is what happens when a person is tormented. Fear breaks loose inside, and it torments the dickens out of you. Like some kind of cancer. eating somebody's life away, you know what's going to happen to you? It'll just try to torment you. You're going to lose your home. You're going to lose your health. Everything's going to go wrong because God's going to let bad things come at you. The devil will come to you. He will speak to you. But faith says, I'm going to trust in the Lord. Faith says, well, I'm going to believe God. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Maybe some things will happen in my life, but God does them for a purpose. If you're afraid, then you're tormented. If you're tormented, you're not free. Fear torments, and fear has got to come out. God's not given us what? Didn't I tell you a couple of weeks ago, fear is a spirit? In Jesus' name, you can start casting that spirit away from you. Do you know you can be oppressed by the devil and not be possessed? God has not given us the spirit of fear. Let's all stand, if you would. Won't you sing this with us? You don't know it? It's just a scripture. God has not given us the spirit of fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear. He has given unto us the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and a sound mind. God has not given us the spirit of fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear. He has given unto us the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and a sound mind. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. He has given unto us a spirit of love. I forget how the rest of it goes, but you know what I'm saying today. I wonder if there's anybody today you want to face your tormentor at the altar. That I've preached something and maybe something I've said has helped you. Something I said you want the hand of God in your life. Why don't you step out of these pews and come and gather around the altar and just take the act of faith. It's the act of faith that is the antidote for fear. The act of faith says, I'm not putting up with fear in my life. The act of faith says, I know that God can help me.
God has not given us
the spirit of fear. He has given unto us the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and a sound mind. Come on, you got something you want to present to the Lord? Just begin to believe God. You may be awake at night. You may have things coming to you. It's just not going to work. It's just not going to happen. It's time to cast out that spirit of fear in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord, we come against fear today. We bind that fear in the name of Jesus. Lord, we come before your throne today, God. We come before your throne as an act of faith today, God. And we believe you, God, for the promises of God. We believe you, Lord, and we're going to take you at your word, God, that there's an answer for every situation, Lord. We're going to believe you, God, that when we walk through the waters, they're not going to overflow us, God. We're going to believe you, God, that when we go through the fires, we're not going to be burned, because you've redeemed us, you've called us by our name, and we're yours, Lord. We're yours, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we praise you today, God. We give you glory. Hallelujah. 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 We praise you and bless you.